It is my honor to be here, and thank you all for your welcome. And let's just get started with the scripture. If you want to turn, it looks like in your pew Bibles to page 817. I'm actually going to be reading this scripture from Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message. I just like the way that he puts this wording into it, but please follow along with me. We're going to be reading from Mark chapter 6, starting with verse 7. And we'll go through 13. So Jesus called the 12 to him and sent them out in pairs. He gave authority to them and power to deal with evil opposition. He sent them off with these instructions. Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. No special appeals for funds. Keep it simple. And no luxury inns. Get a modest place and be content there until you leave. If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way. Then they were on the road. They preached with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. Right and left, they sent the demons packing. They brought wellness to the sick, anointing their bodies and healing their spirits. Thanks be to God for these words. Would you please open in prayer with me? Father, may the words that I speak be a blessing and bring honor to you. May your spirit abide in this place and help open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to the message today. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So, as much as I thought about bringing my oils in and driving demons out, as in part of this scripture, I think God was leading me more towards talking about the mission part of this ministry. So that's what we're going to focus on today. So I have a story I want to open up with. In 1974, there was a young pastor named John Culp. Some of you might have heard that name before if you're familiar with the United Methodist Church. But he was appointed to churches in Hampton, South Carolina. And now during that time, he interacted with some nuns that were in that area, and they actually took Pastor Culp out into Hampton County and showed him a great deal of poverty that was associated in that area of South Carolina. And so that was laid on Pastor Culp's heart back in 1974, and it took him 4 years, but in 1978, he initiated what was known as the first Salkehatchie Summer Mission Camp. During that time, he took a group of 40 people into the lives of four families in the area of Hampton, South Carolina. And that was some of the worst poverty, not only in South Carolina, but the worst poverty in the nation. For 1 week, that team of 40, and most of that group of 40 was youth out working tirelessly during that week to restore homes on the Sea Island of South Carolina. Now, a few weeks following this first Salkehatchie camp, there was a house fire in that same area. And Pastor Culp was also a volunteer fireman. He was the chaplain of the volunteer firemen in that area, and so he responded to that call. When they went out to take a look at the house fire, that house fire actually took the lives of three children during that time. And the fire was caused by some faulty wiring and a replacement switch that would have cost about 25 cents. But because of the poverty level of that family, they couldn't afford the 25 cents that it would have taken to restore that issue. So during that house fire and during that event, it was then that the Salkehatchie mission was validated to Pastor Culp, because he knew that that wooden shack that had burnt down and took the lives of those three precious children, that home could have been made safe with just a little know-how and some basic materials. So fast forward 40 years to present day, and that summer service mission known as Salkehatchie is still very much alive. And there are now over 46 camps that take place throughout the state of South Carolina, and those 40 initial volunteers have grown to over 2,000 volunteers within the state that give 1 week out of their summer to this mission program. Now, Lyman United Methodist Church just hosted one of those camps, the Middle Tiger Salkehatchie Camp. And I want to say, because I help a lot behind the scenes with that camp, but with the food part of it. So we have to feed all these people that are coming in. And I want to take just a moment to tell you and to thank you how much we appreciate your church family helping provide one of those meals. Because you might not think it's a lot, but when you have to feed 22 meals throughout the course of that week, it's a blessing. So thank you on my behalf, not only as a representative of the camp. So what in the world does all of that have to do with the scripture from today? Well, like I said, we're not going to talk about driving out demons, and we're not going to do an anointing with oil, but we are going to focus on Jesus sending out the disciples. We're going to focus on talking about what we might call today mission work. And Salkehatchie is one of those missions that's dear to my heart, and I thought this would be a great opportunity just to kind of give you guys a little bit more background if you're not familiar with it, and maybe give you a little twist to think about today. By helping feed those campers at Middle Tiger Salkehatchie, you guys were a part of that mission work. Whether you helped make the sandwiches, whether you purchased the materials to help make the sandwiches or brought in the extra goodies like the cookies and the chips and all that stuff, you gave our campers the strength and the nourishment that they needed to be able to go out and work on 6 area homes. And I will tell you guys that those 6 homes that we worked on this year, they are all within about a 5-mile radius of this church. They were all in the Welford community. But you helped bring those homes into better condition by helping out our campers behind the scenes. Did you think to yourself when you were making those sandwiches or doing that work that you were helping to change lives? Did you think that you were helping to bring Christ into the world just by making a sandwich? Sometimes our help in the mission field may be so trivial that we often fail to recognize the great impact that it can have. Now, when Jesus called the 12 and commissioned them to go out 2 by 2, he told them they didn't need a lot of equipment, that they were going to be the equipment. He told them it was better to have simplicity when they were going into the mission field. You know the old saying, keep it simple. That's what Jesus had instructed his disciples to do. Now, this year at our Salkehatchie camp, it was kind of interesting because we had plenty of youth from our state, but we also had a unique group, and they came in from Massachusetts. This is the first time we had ever had an out-of-state group, youth group, come to help with Salkehatchie, but they flew down from Massachusetts. Now, if any of you guys are familiar with traveling in the air, you pack lightly, right? You can't take a lot of extra stuff because, number one, there's not room. You're only allowed a certain amount of luggage. And number two, if you go over that, you're going to get charged. And it's not cheap. So this group came down to South Carolina, and I promise you, they were traveling lightly. They only brought what they needed for that week. And during the week, the campers set up their bedding in our gym. And so one area church provided bedding for all of those 17 people that were coming to South Carolina. So I'm sure when that group flew in, they were thinking, okay, we had to travel lightly, but they were having to rely upon the mission that their needs were going to be provided for. And they were. But again, it goes back to us thinking, you know, do you think that the church that was asked to provide the bedding, do you think that they thought of the impact that they would have just by supplying those needs to the greater mission field? Now, during the week of Salkehatchie, there is so much work to be done. And these campers, we ask a lot of them. They're required to be up by 5 a.m. each morning, Monday through Friday. And they have to be ready to leave the church by 6 a.m. Because you guys know, in the summertime in South Carolina, the heat starts early. So we try to get these campers out to the work sites by at least 6:30 to start their work. And it's a long day. They don't return until about 5 p.m. So it's a full day's work. We had over 80 campers this year between the ages of 14 and older than 80 years old. Okay, 14 to over 80 years old. They were being the hands and feet of Christ during that week. And y'all, you know, asking a teenager to get up before noon is asking a whole lot. But these campers did just that. They gave their time, they had their lack of sleep, and they were helping make Christ real for the people in this community. And not only this community, but communities around the state, because this is a statewide mission. When Jesus told the disciples that they would need to be the equipment for this mission, that's what he was talking about, being present, being in that moment. There could have been a lot of complaining, and don't get me wrong, I'm sure there was some side conversation, you know, it's hot or whatever. But the focus of the week, there could have been so much complaining, but there wasn't. They could have complained about the heat. They could have complained about the mornings coming early. Excuse me. The mornings coming early and the evenings coming late. They could have complained about the heat. They could have complained that they were having to use porta-johns on site instead of getting to use a bathroom. They could have complained about the heat. They could have complained about so much. These guys come in and they do the work. They're doing anything from putting on roofs on homes to putting down new flooring, installing new bathrooms. And it's usually tight spaces that they're doing this work in. But we don't hear the complaints. We hear the praise. We hear the praise during worship each evening. We hear the praise in the mornings and during the meals when they're having their blessings. We hear the praise when they're on site with the homeowners doing their daily devotions. We hear the praise. Yes, the work is hard, and it requires these kids to give everything that they have. But they know the purpose of the mission, and they do it with a servant's heart. When Jesus sent out the 12 in that time that the disciples would have been going out, sorry, many people didn't know how to read. And so they were relying upon the messengers of Christ to have to deliver the message verbally. They were not only having to deliver the message verbally, but what was more important is how the disciples were showing the message of Christ, how they were having to live out their faith. Then and now, people judge the message of Christ by the life the messengers live, more than the words they speak. Dom Helder Camara, who was a Brazilian bishop, once told his catechists who were speaking to illiterate people, "Sisters and brothers, watch how you live. Your lives may be the only gospel your listeners will ever read." I'm going to repeat that. Sorry. "Sisters and brothers, watch how you live. Your lives may be the only gospel your listeners will ever read." Hopefully, through the dedication and the hard work of these Salkehatchie campers, homeowners, and people in this community and communities around the state see that devotion to Christ. There was one lady, and she told our pastor, she said, "Preacher," she said, "God showed up this week, and God showed out this week." And that's what it's about. Faith in action. Living out the gospel through your faith in action. Jesus didn't ask anything of the disciples, and he doesn't ask anything of us that he himself did not sacrifice. Jesus left his family. Thank you. Jesus left his family. Jesus stood by the poor and the oppressed. Jesus stood by the outcast, and Jesus stood by the sick. He asked his disciples to do the same, and he asked the same of us. The beauty of that is just like he sent the disciples out two by two, he's right there with us. When he sends us out, he's right there in the trenches with us. We always have a partner with him, right with us. Because when we're working to serve him in this world, there's a guarantee he's going to be leading the way. He wants us to trust and depend on him and be in that partnership with him. But not just that alone. He wants us to be present for one another. All right, now, I'm going a little secular here, but y'all know Garth Brooks, right? All right, so the younger folks know like the second emergence of Garth Brooks. I'm talking about like back in the 80s, 90s when he first started out, right? Well, back then, one of my favorite songs listening to him was Standing Outside the Fire. You remember that song? And so it's funny because this week I was riding down the road and that song came on, and when you're trying to prepare to give a talk, you know, and you're going through the scripture and you're trying to listen to what God wants you to talk about, there were some words that really spoke to me from that song, from the lyric, and I'm going to read those to you. It says, life is not tried. It is merely survived when you're standing outside the fire. Being in the mission field with Christ, it's not standing outside the fire. Now, sometimes we don't like to talk about fire in church because, you know, we can go a little different direction with that. But today, it's a good thing. We want to be in that fire with Christ because it's being in the middle of that fire and not just standing back and watching what's going on, but it's being active with Christ, not playing it safe, not just being content to come to church on Sundays and live your life, your normal life, Monday through Saturday, but it's going past that. It's standing in that fire. It's getting messy. It's being in that deep devotion with Christ and living that out for others to see. That's what living a life of discipleship is all about. Now, in the closing verses of the scripture that we read today, Christ tells the disciples to preach with joyful urgency that life can be radically different. When you are living a life filled with Christ, it is radically different. It goes away from what the world teaches us. It's different, and people notice different. The joy of Christ radiates from you, and that's when others get to read that story. When the campers were at the home sites, and their joy was, you know, that radical joy is being expressed, the homeowner saw that. That's that radical difference of what a disciple is. Does that mean life is going to be easy? No. I don't think Jesus promised us that anywhere that I've read anywhere. He doesn't say that there's not going to be problems. But when we take up that cross with Christ, it's the radical hope of what's coming after we get through those troubles that gives us the joy. Yes, there are going to be problems arise, but we have that hope of Christ in us that we've got that part that will help us encounter and get us through whatever the trouble is. And that thought and having that hope is so different than what the world throws at us. And that's why it's called radical discipleship or radical lifestyle. And radical kind of goes along with being in that fire, not just standing outside the fire and watching. We all have a mission, we all have a purpose, and we all have abilities to accomplish being a disciple in this world. Y'all heard me say that we had campers from the ages of 14 to over 80 years old. That 80-year-old person still has mission, still has the abilities, and still wants to use those to live out the life that Christ has enabled him to have. You may not have the same vision that John Culp had back in 1974. You know, it may not be the next Salkehatchee Camp mission that's what your calling is going to be. But there are ways that you can be a disciple in this world. You can look at your neighbors. You can see if they have a need. You can be a prayer partner. You can be an accountability partner to someone that just needs to talk. You can help someone who's suffering with grief or loss just by being present. You may not even have to say a word. There are many, many ways that we can carry out the mission in this world. The gospel of hope, the gospel that Christ gives us, is what we are that's what we want to carry out to the world. And that's where those spiritual gifts come in, right? You can use your discernment, and I encourage you to find those gifts, to pray about those gifts, and figure out what is your calling, and how is Christ calling you to interact and be a disciple of this world. It's our choice whether we live it out or whether we're going to stand outside the fire and just kind of watch life happen, right? We all have the choice to be remolded with Christ, to be that beacon to others, or be the beacon for others to Christ. And when that compassion starts to stir within you, that's God's compassion. That's God saying, yes. That's God speaking to you. And when he gives you that compassion, you feel that stir, he's going to give you the equipment that you need to carry out that mission. Because just like the disciples, you are the equipment. So we're going to close with the song, Are Ye Able? And as you absorb what I've said today and the scripture that you've read, I just want you to ask yourself, and my prayer for you, not only today, but as the week progresses, ask yourself, so are you? So are you? Let's pray. Lord, we pray that strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may radiate the light of your love to those that we encounter, Lord, in our daily life. Help us to have a deeper understanding of the needs of others, and give us the courage to witness to the joy of our faith and the equipment that we need, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. And I believe that number is number 530.